so glad that you could join us this morning. I'm just going to hand it over to Ian, and he's going to do some announcements.
Good morning, church. My name's Ian. I'm one of the elders here, along with David. It's so good to see you this morning. Hope you've all had a good week. Just getting over a cold, but I'm sure we're all okay this morning. A few notices. As I say, it's good to welcome you here this morning. If you could have the next slide, please. We are online for the sermon part of the service this morning. So we'll be going online for the service for the preach. And David's going to be preaching this morning. So that's that one. And then if you are new, there's different ways to connect with us. We've got YouTube channels, we've got Twitter, we've got all sorts of ways that you can get online to connect with us. Also, you'll see online, there's an online connect card. You can fill that out, and somebody will come and see you, visit you, and any prayer requests that you may have, you can fill that out. Starting on the 10th of October, which is next Monday, we're going to be doing a new thing called Just Be Connected. And I've heard that it's the bee's knees. Sorry, I just... Amelia thought it was funny enough. We're going to be doing that on... can we go back again, please, Carl? So we're going to be doing that on a Monday. Come for tea, coffee, chat, crafts, and Michelle is going to be doing that. Michelle's not here today, I don't think, no. Bless Michelle. It's a nice little work she's going to be doing on a Monday. So come, relax, chill. If you're not doing anything, I'd encourage you to come. And there's more information there. All these... announcements are on our website, so if you want any more information, go there. Next slide, please, Kyle. Small groups on Tuesdays. We've been going through Rick Warren's The Purpose Driven Life, and it's been really good for those of you that can come. Can I encourage you to come on a Tuesday? We all work, we're all retired, we're all sitting at home, so can I encourage you to come on a Tuesday evening? It's at Mike and Carol's. If you want the address, see Mike and Carol. Give us a wave, Mike and Carol, if you need to get their address from them. I've noticed up there it says the adults group. So, and then on Thursday, it's Keegan and Amelia. So I don't know, is that the adult? So, 20 to 30s. And I've heard...
It's the young people.
It's the young people's group, yeah. And I'm gutted. And I've heard a lot of people say to me, I wish I was going to Keegan and Amelia's. So, well, perhaps one day we should sneak there and see if there's any, like...
You have to show your ID.
Oh, ID. So, can I encourage you to come to the adult groups and the young people's group on a Tuesday and a Thursday? And then on Friday and Saturday, Kerry is doing Reflect. And again, I've been to the one on a Friday. She's so good. And a blessing to us here at this church. So she does that on a Friday and on a Saturday. So there's lots of ways to keep connected. Okay, next slide. Purpose-driven life resources. There's different resources. We're going through the book at the moment. If you haven't got a book, we can get you one, or you can get one online. And there's different ways you can listen to the book. Or read the book, okay? And there's different videos that we're watching each week, and then discussing them during the week. So, next slide, please. Okay, giving. Every week we have a little slot on giving, and giving is very important as a church. It's part of our worship. Though we've sung songs, we're here together. That's worship, and there's all types of different ways we can worship, and we learnt about that in our group on Tuesdays. But first of all, I want to thank everyone for their commitment and their giving here at this church. You know, we're all struggling. There's all bills have gone up. Everything's gone up, hasn't it? And I just want to thank you all over the summer period for giving to this church. It's without your giving, we wouldn't be able to do things like the new kids club, Cosmic Comets Kids Club, and I said it right. So, and that's going really well. Kerry, isn't it? It was absolutely rammed. I came in the first week, and there was 35 kids here. So it's without your money, we can't do that sort of thing. And baptisms and teas and all sorts of stuff like that. So I want to thank you for that. Also, those of you online, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your giving. Though you're not here in person, I would like to thank you for your giving to the church here and the work here. So we're very grateful and thankful for your generosity, and we can use it for many different ways here at the church. I'm going to say something now. God uses our growth in generosity to do good. Also, God uses our growth in generosity to grow. I'll say it again. God uses our growth in generosity to do good. Also, God uses our growth in generosity to grow. We never say to people, give and you'll get back. You know, it's like when you give a Christmas present, isn't it? Oh, I'm going to give my wife a lovely, massive, great box of whatever, and I'm expecting a bigger one back. I don't get that. But we don't do that. We don't do that. We give from our heart whatever we've got. And it says there in Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. He rewards those who are generous, and he is the rewarder of the faithful. Amen. Okay, welcome team. Good job you're here, Amelia, because I'd forget. We're going to have a time of just greet and meet. We just go round and say hello to one another. If you're here for the first time, don't be embarrassed. You know, you can stay seated. We come to you and say hello and introduce ourselves with a high five or a fist bump or whatever, or a tap on the shoulder, whatever. Okay, so we just have a couple of minutes saying hello to one another, and then don't forget to stay for tea and coffee afterwards, and more fellowship afterwards. So let's greet one another. And then after that, David's going to come up. Kerry is after that.
Every time I try to make it on my own, every time I try to stay and start to fall, and all those lonely roads that I traveled on, there was Jesus. When the life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. There was Jesus. In the way, in the searching, in the healing, in the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been or where I'm going,
shadows of the alleys.
If you can, take your seats.
Every time I try to make it on my own, every time I try to stay and start to fall, and all those lonely roads.
Ian's told me to go into teacher mode, so if you can all sit down and be quiet. Didn't work.
When the life I built came crashing to the ground.
What is it? Okay, it is really lovely to see you all. As you know, as a church, we love to have the children in the service. We love for everybody to be involved. And so in a minute, David's going to come and speak about the church family and how important unity is within us, and just remembering that right from the tiniest to, I won't say the oldest, I won't point at anyone for the oldest, but to the oldest, all of us are just as important to God, and that's what we really celebrate at this church. So we're thinking about the church family and how important it is. And so in your activity packs, children, today, you're going to have a heart. What I'd really like you to do is write a prayer for our church family on that heart. And if anyone wants to, at the end of the service, we can share some of them. We've also got some people. I've only got two, but yours have got more people joined together. And on there, I would like you to decorate it and make them into some people that encourage you in your life, some people that pray with you and laugh with you and play with you, and turn them into your important people. And then we've got our usual activity sheet with some different stuff on there for you to do. So that's what we're doing in our activity packs today. But we are now going to hear what Bertie and Betty think about the family of God. And I apologise in advance.
I'm doing great, thank you, Betty.
What are you up to?
Well, I have been writing my terms and conditions.
Terms and conditions? For what?
For my role in the church. I'm fed up of not being appreciated.
Who doesn't appreciate you?
No one does. It takes a lot to be up front, you know. And people, well, I don't think I get the credit I deserve. So I'm going to set out my terms and conditions.
Okay. I will probably regret this, but do you want to share them?
Actually, yes, I do. Number one, I'm taking over the rock band.
Rock band?
Yeah. All the guys at the front. I want to sing. I think the church owes me that.
I'm not sure you're gifted in that way. And you do know they're a worship group, not a band.
Yeah, but I can change that. Did you know that I can do a mean rendition of Stairway to Heaven? I'm sure that must be in the Bible.
I'm not sure it is, but we come to church to worship, not to perform. Anyway, Any more terms and conditions?
Yes. I think I'd like some brownies, but definitely some donuts every week. And not the boring kind. The one with ice and sprinkles.
Wow. Donuts for everyone will be really expensive.
No, not for everyone, obviously. Just people like me who are special and do so much in church. The rest can have those rich tea biscuits that we have in the cupboard.
And what makes you more special than the things that other people do? Can you imagine what the church would look like without those people who clean and tidy? And all those activity packs that you enjoy every week, they need sorting out with pencils sharpened. Doesn't that deserve a donut too?
I guess so.
Any more conditions?
Yes, Felicity has to sit at the back every week.
And how is that fair?
Well, did I tell you she beat me in the talent show?
Just a few times.
Well, she doesn't deserve to be part of things because of that.
Okay, so Bertie, what will you do if these terms aren't met?
Oh, that's easy. I'll just leave the church and find somewhere I'm appreciated. I'm sure there's another church that will appreciate me.
Bertie, do you remember what we were learning about being part of God's family?
Yes, we've been told that we're all important, that the body can't function properly without everyone doing their bit.
Yes, so is any one part of the body more important than the rest?
No, I guess not.
What else did you learn?
That God's family should look out for each other?
Exactly. Do you remember how Clive mended your remote control car? How special did that make you feel?
Wow, that was really special. I can't believe he would do that for me.
Exactly. We are all part of God's family. And what does God's family need to do?
We need to forgive one another.
Sorry?
We need to forgive one another, but Felicity doesn't deserve forgiveness and she beat me at the talent show. Did I tell you that?
You did, but that doesn't come into it. You need to let this go.
Okay. Maybe I should share my donut with her?
Oh, Bertie.
Right, you have another David today. So you're not short of Davids in this church. So I've just got an advance notice that will be particularly good for the Ugandans among us. Where are the Ugandans today? One or two, yeah. But it's actually a treat for everyone. Just to let you know, at the end of this month, end of October, we have a Ugandan pastor, his wife and his two, say, children, they're young ladies now. It's the pastor that I worked with for a year in Uganda with Lorena many years ago. They're coming over as a choir. They're going around places, but they will be with us, staying with us for a few days. We'll also be coming here on the Sunday and we will be doing the service for you. So you'll hear them sing. I'll try and get them with some African style worship and Peter will bring God's word to us. So that's the last Sunday of the month. Right, but today we're continuing this series looking at the church of being a purpose-driven family. So, it says that you were formed for God's family. You were formed for fellowship. And God doesn't just want you to know and to love him, as we've looked in the first two messages, but God wants you to know and to love his family. If you love God, we will love one another. That's the encouragement we have. And I've got some quotes here from Scripture, different translations. It says, now the family is the church of the living God. That family is the church of the living God. Then Ephesians, it says, God's unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And it goes on, it says in John's Gospel, yet to all who believe him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. When we become Christians, we're not just, don't just receive salvation, we receive forgiveness of sins, but also we are adopted into the family of God. And we become part of God's family. You know, we are not all children of God, all human beings. There's a bad teaching that actually is goes around and you hear it by all kinds of people. It says, well, we're all God's children, but we're not all God's children. God wants everyone to become his children. But we're not, when we're physically born into this world, we do not become Christians. We are not born as children of God. We are born, we are human beings. We have a sinful nature, and all human beings sin. And but God doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to faith. He wants all people to come and know him. Because if they don't, they're under his wrath, under his condemnation. It says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life for those who believe in Jesus. So we are spiritually born into God's family. We are also adopted into God's family. We might look a little bit of that later. But I want to say, well, what comes into your mind when you hear the word church? And I think for most of us, the most common use when we say church is a building. Now, I know we, as good Christians, we all know that's not really true, but actually, that's what comes into our mind. And that's one of the most common uses of the word. When we used to live in Broadbridge Heath, we lived in Church Road. And when we used to give directions for people to come to our house, I would say, well, you come into the village, you go down the second on the left, you'll see the church on the corner, turn left, and you'll find us down there. And that's how we often use the word church. It's a building. If you're giving directions and there's a church involved, you'll say, that's a church. But a church is not a building. This is a building where the church meets. We praise God for it, but it is not the church. See, in the New Testament, when you read the word church, it's not about a building. It's not about a building. It's about the people. It's not, the church is not an institution. It's not an organization. It's not a denomination. It's not somewhere you go to. You don't go to church. You are the church. Now, often we use that. I mean, if I was coming out of my house this morning and saw my neighbor, which I didn't this one, he says, where are you going? I was saying, I'm going to church. Well, I should say, I'm going to meet with God's people who are the church. But that would sound very, I don't know what it would sound like. I'll try it one day and see what response I get. But we use that. But it's important to know that we, the people, are the church. And we need to understand what the Bible means when it talks about church. I'm going to give you a little Greek lesson now. You don't look very happy. God, it's all Greek to you anyway. But it's just helpful, I think, that the word, the Greek word for this translated church is ecclesia. And it's made up of two Greek words. It's a, it's a compound word. Eek means out, and the word kallio is to call. And so ecclesia is that which is called out. We are people that have been called out of darkness into his wonderful light. We are a called out people. We are a redeemed people. It's wonderful, isn't it? We have been called out. That's literally what it means. As I said earlier, we all have been born again. Nicodemus was told, if you want to see the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. Peter writes, we've been born again to a new and a living hope. We are born into the family. But the other thing the Bible says, we're adopted. So not only are we God's children by birth, in a spiritual birth, but also by being adopted. And I like that, being adopted, because when you adopt someone, you choose. If you're going to adopt a baby or a child, you have a choice. It's your choice. And the wonderful thing is that God has chosen us. Amen? We're chosen. Okay, that's a whole message in itself. But we have been adopted. And one other thing about the church I want us to look at is in the New Testament, the word church on the lips of Jesus is only recorded twice. Do you know that? In the Gospels, we only read of the word church twice. And that's used in two senses. The universal sense, universal church, and the local church. The universal church, basically, is all believers, when they become Christians, belong to the church worldwide throughout the ages. Okay? So that's the universal church. And sometimes when you hear the word church in the epistles, that's how it's used. It says Jesus is the head of the church, which is his body. Or his body, which is the church. Jesus is the head. We're all part of that church. If you read some of the old theology books, instead of the universal church, they talk about the invisible church, which isn't something like the invisible man. It's the church throughout the ages, worldwide. Maybe you're looking blank, you haven't heard that, but when I was a young Christian, it was a common phrase. And then we also read, by the way, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. That's the universal worldwide church of God. Amen. Now, the second thing we read about is the local church. And the second time Jesus used it was the word church was in Matthew 18, when he says, if your brother sins, you go to him in private. If he doesn't listen to you, you take two or three others. If he doesn't listen to them, you can't resolve the issue, then you bring it to the church. Now that is the local church. You can't do that with the worldwide church. I mean, not even with the internet, I don't think you should do that. It's the local church. And you read about the church in Corinth, the church in the house, the church meets there. The local church, the church in Philippi, the church in Galatia, and of course it will be the church that meets in Furnace Green. We are a local church, part of the worldwide church. So it's good to know that. Now, there are some people that don't make that distinction. Many years ago when I was at Broadbridge, there was a young man came into our church service. Obviously, he enjoyed the service, and afterwards I went up to him. I said, it's good to see you. I said to him, obviously from the way he participated in worship, he was a Christian, he enjoyed it. He said, yes. I said, oh, that's good. He said, you're just visiting. He said, yes, I'm just visiting. I said, oh, which church do you go to? Where's your church? And he said, I go where I'm led every Sunday. I belonged to the universal church, the invisible church. I go as I'm led. I don't belong to a local church. And I was restrained from trying to give him this sermon. But I said, I think you need to belong to a local church. Oh, no, I go where I'm led. Sounds very super spiritual. Anyway, we continued, and he talked to another. Then he came up to me, and he said, oh, by the way, he said, I'm a bit short of money. You know, I need some money. Do you think you could help me out? And I said to him, yes, of course. Hold your hand out. So he held out his hand, put my hand in my pocket, and went like this. I said, there you are. He said, there's nothing there. I said, yes, there is. It's invisible money to go with your invisible church. We need to belong to a local church. So moving on, the church is described in two ways. We get two pictures to help us understand what the church is. And the first one, we're reading in Ephesians 2. The church is a spiritual building. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll just read to you verses 19 to 22. It says, so then you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints. You're of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building is fitted together, growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You have this wonderful picture of the church that would be made up of people being built together into a holy temple. We are the church. And it's this thing of being built together is really where the rubber hits the road. We'll look at that a little bit later on. But it's being fitted and built together. Paul described himself as a wise master builder in 1 Corinthians, Jesus being the main builder. I'd also like us to look into 1 Peter, because I love this passage here. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, and coming to him, that's Jesus, as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious into God's sight. Said, you also, as living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus. And he goes on about a cornerstone being laid, and how Jesus is the cornerstone that was rejected. And then in verse 9 it says, you also are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellences of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. And you have this wonderful picture that we are living stones to be built together. Now, some time ago, I went to we were on holiday, Devon or Cornwall, I forget now, and we're just walking down a road, and there was a man building a stone wall. He's building it, and there's a pile of stones. And I stopped and watched him for a while. I'd never seen that done before. But every stone in the pile of stones was different. And in order for him, he had to take the stone, look at where he's going to put it, knock off all the rough edges, and get a nice lot of concrete mortar and set it in place. It was quite a skilled art, putting that stone. And then he'd get another one and do the same. And when I saw that, I said, that is just like the church. We are all living stones, but we've all got rough edges. Some of us are more rough than others. We all need things kind of knocked off of us. We're all different. And the job of fitting us together that Jesus wants to do, and we are doing is a tough job. I love what it says in the King James Version. I never quote the King James, but I couldn't resist this one. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." That you should say for them. We're a peculiar people. If you stood where I'm standing, you might say yes. So, my pastoral skills need brushing up, I'm afraid. I went to the 40 Tower School of Pastoral Ministry, so excuse me when I... But we are, the church is living stones being built together. And that's what the local church is here for us. So the church is a spiritual building. It's also described as a body. I won't say too much about that. We've heard a lot of that. But we are like a body. Every part of the body is different. You know, when one part of the body suffers, they all suffer. You know, you might think that your little finger doesn't matter much. Right? It does. I've got... broken my little finger, and then I broke that little finger. It makes a huge difference to my life. When I couldn't use it, the whole hand was... But we've heard messages about that before. We are all different, but we're all important. And we're all called to serve together. The church is a body. I've just got a couple of verses, but I won't need to really do them. Because it talks very much about each believer is placed as a member into the Christ body. You are members of Christ's body, it says, and individually members of it. We're all part of the body of Christ, and we all need one another. So we're formed for God's family. That's one of the purposes of God bringing us in, that we've actually been formed to be part of the church. And one of the problems is that most of us have grown up particularly of being very individualistic. And, you know, particularly the kind of macho man, you know, I did it my way. You know, I don't need anybody's help. You know, I can do it. And it takes a while, often before we realise actually we're not meant to do it on our own. We're not designed to do it on our own. But our pride often won't let us acknowledge that. But we'll come on to that in a minute, because there are four areas that we will briefly consider. Four areas of fellowship. You see, when the church began on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people were baptized. They received Jesus, repented, baptized, received forgiveness of sins, and it said they were added to the church. Okay? They were added. They weren't just left to sort it out. They were added to the church. And it goes on, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. And they devoted themselves to this thing called fellowship. And there are four areas we need to look at, and these are really where the rubber hits the road. The first one is the fellowship of sharing together. We share conversation, we share meals, ideas, share interests, experiences, good and bad, share support, we rejoice with one another, we share sorrow, we share our needs, and small groups are a great place to do that. We can do a little on a Sunday morning, but I believe that small groups, and we need to do that. It's not a Sunday experience being part of the local church. It's like the kind of the hub, the way we go out from. In Acts chapter 2, after the 3,000 were added, and they said they shared meals, and met from house to house. House to house. And they shared their goods, they shared things. Said many sold their properties, even, so that no one had a need. Now, just be careful how you interpret scripture, because sometimes there have been groups that have said, look, it says there, you have to sell your house. So sell your house, bring your money to us, and you know, you'll be a proper Christian. Some of you are looking worried. I'm not going to say that. Because it also says that they met from house to house. Now, if everybody sold their properties, there'd be nowhere to meet, right? But you know, this idea of sharing together. When we first began having seen a move of God in the church over in Broadbridge, and we began to meet in small groups, this was something that was in many ways new to me, because I'm a typical Englishman. You know, an Englishman's house is his castle, and what is mine, and what's yours, well, you can keep. I mean, I know Lorraine, in her, when she was younger, she came home from school with a toy that she had borrowed from a friend at school, and her parents went mad. You can't borrow other people, you know, we're not a charity case, blah, blah, blah. You know, what's yours is yours, what's theirs is theirs. Oh, pardon me. is this mic? Yes. It did this last week with David, didn't it? Right, I'll carry on. If not, I'll use something else. yes. But as we began to meet and begin to share fellowship and get to know one another, what one day I happened to say, my lawnmower has broken down. I know it's sad, Margaret, it couldn't work. Broken down. And at the time, I couldn't really afford to get another one. But I just happened to mention it. And then someone said to me, oh, that's all right, David, you can borrow my lawnmower. Now, in those days, that was quite amazing. I thought, wow. He's going to lend me his lawnmower. And he did. He came over and I mowed the grass. My next door neighbour, who wasn't a Christian, said, about time you had your lawn cut. He said, but how come I didn't think you could afford a new one? I said, no, it was lent to me by someone at the church. He said, oh, amazing. Someone lent you a lawnmower. When I first became a full-time pastor there, and I thought, in my naivety, I thought, well, now I'm a full-time pastor, I can actually, you know, the non-Christians in my row, you know, it'll be easier to share my faith with them. The opposite was true. When they heard that I was a full-time pastor, they would do their best to avoid me. And I thought, this is weird, you know, I'm in the same person, you know. I was an engineer, now I'm a pastor, and they seem to be avoiding me, being called to me. And that went on for a while, and then I had an accident in my car, and the car was written off. It took a while to sort out. But the people in the church said, oh, David, you can borrow my car. So sometimes I'd have a car for a day or a meeting, sometimes a few days. Occasionally, if somebody went on holiday, they'd say, you have my car. And so I had loads of different cars. Some of them were really old bangers. You know, you almost had to push. But I remember the best car I had was a Rover. In those days, a Rover was a really posh car. And I found people in my street began to talk to me. How come you have so many cars? What's happened? I said, well, people in the church are lending me your car. Well, normally you don't lend people your cars in England. At least we didn't in those days. And that was a great witness for them, but it's part of this sharing together and bringing glory to God. We're to share together. The second thing is belonging together. There is a difference between being an attender at a church and being a member. The difference between a spectator and a participator. And God wants us to become a participator and find a church, a family of people that we belong to. One of the things I have noticed is travelling around is that there are churches that are really hot on people coming together and being belonging to one another. But there are other churches that just focus on services. I think I've been to some very, very big churches, and some of them are wonderful places. But some of them, it's just a pile of stones. You have a very gifted preacher, brilliant worship, people come on Sunday, and then they go home, they come the next Sunday, they're very good, they might go to a midweek meeting, which is obviously just a mini service, but they're not built together, it's just a pile of stones. And for some people, they're happy with that. But if you want God's purpose for your life, you need to be in a place where you actually begin to be built together and you say, I belong here. Now, I know that some people go to a church, they commit and they get badly hurt, and then they find it difficult. But it's worth the effort. There's no such thing as a perfect church. We're all a peculiar bunch. But God, in his great purpose, has put us in his family. And we need to grow in that family. I think next week they'll be doing discipleship. So there's the fellowship of belonging. There's also the fellowship of serving. We've heard a lot about serving, but we're actually all called to serve. Jesus was a servant. He said, I have come not to be served, but to serve. Paul often introduced himself in his letters. Paul, he was an apostle, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, a slave of Jesus. He was a servant to the people. And we are called, all of us, to serve one another. I love that verse in Galatians 5. It says, you were called to freedom, brethren, only don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. See, when Jesus saves us, as he begins to set us free, we're not free now, we're free from all restrictions. No, we are not free to indulge our fleshly desires. We are free to serve each other. Free to serve one another. You see, that's God's intention for us. I mean, otherwise, when we were saved, he'd take us straight to heaven and all our problems would be solved. But he leaves us here that through us, through his people, the wonder of the gospel could be manifest. And that's where our responsibility is. We're serving together. And the last one, there's the fellowship of suffering together. Suffering can bring people together. It can also isolate people. Some people prefer to suffer alone, but suffering brings people together. I mean, some people said the nation came together after the queen died in grief. Maybe we did, I don't know. But suffering and going through trouble, when we go through trouble, we need one another. We need each other to go through that. Now I'm going to kind of illustrate that and illustrate a bit of what I've been saying. So I'd like you all to stand up, please. Now, we know that the devil is like a roaring lion seeking to devour those whom he will. So I'm going to send the devil out around you to go and kind of devour some of you, to kind of get at some of you. Oh, off you go, Mr. Devil. Go on, get him, bring him out. Go on, get some more. Go on, get some more. Go on, get some. Get another one at the, get one at the back. Just go on, bring them out. So get them out there. That's it. Go, go back a bit, Carl. I want another one. Fellow. Full of it. Just, oh, well done. Bit of a struggle, but he managed it. Now I want you all to link arms. Not you, devil. Now I want you to go and see who you can get for me. Just pull them. It's difficult, isn't it? I mean, you try and pull them, and there's too many of you. You can't do it. Right. Okay, you can sit down. See, together, we're much stronger than apart. Amen? We can support one another because we need one another. Because some of us go through good times, we're strong. We can help those who are going through bad times. We do need each other. And that's one of the joys of the church, is we learn how to love one another, belong to one another, serve one another. We can support one another and help one another. And we need it. We need it, and we just thank God for what we have. So in conclusion, all I need to say is we were formed for God's family, and God doesn't expect you to do it on your own. Amen. So I want to pray, and then I'll hand over for the last song. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, in your wisdom, Lord, when you called us, when you saved us, when we came into your family, that you actually place us in your family. Lord, and we thank you for that. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'll help us here in this family. Here you'll help us to share, to serve, and to belong, and to suffer together. Lord, we want to be the people of God here in this place. We know that Jesus said that, Lord, the world will know we're your disciples by the love we have for one another. And I pray that, Lord, as we grow and we learn to love each other, Lord, we know that your name, Lord, would be glorified and the gospel will go forth. So we ask that you help us in this, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
David. So I'm just going to close the stream. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We pray that you have a blessed week.